crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Great and mighty God, creator of heaven and earth, we praise you this morning. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You are King. You are the true God, the one who died for our sins on that cross and rose from the dead. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one will inherit eternal life without believing, without being born again through faith in you. Lord, help us make that real to people. Lord, I pray today that many will do that before it's too late. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone to Fire Grace Church. Those listening by Blog Talk Radio and Facebook, YouTube, wherever, however. Amen. Well, all right. Good to have everybody. Everything working good? PowerPoint good? All right. Hopefully, theoretically. For those of you, some of you here, even in our church, you probably didn't hear Tuesday night our radio show, Prophecy Quake. The Lord had me do really part one of this. And this is just continuing our end time Bible prophecy series. I don't even know. There's no order right now to it. I don't know which one's coming next, and I don't know how long it'll go. But this past Tuesday night, the Lord had me into about the birth pains are increasing as September 23rd approaches. What's blowing my mind is since Tuesday night, between Facebook and YouTube, that video has been viewed almost 7,000 times in just a few days. I believe God is speaking, and I believe there are some people beginning to listen about where we are in Bible prophecy. And trust me, after today, you're going to understand that we are neck deep in the birth pains, even more so than I even presented on Tuesday night. So if you saw Tuesday night, those of you out there listening, watching, if you saw that, yes, this is more of the same, but we're going a bit deeper. I also added, this is the birth pains increase, 2.0 is what I call it, when they shall say peace and safety. There's a very interesting thing going on around this. So we're going to revisit something. Now, remember a few weeks ago, I did a message, really started this series with the eclipse, the great sign, and the rapture. That was part one of this particular end time series. I talked about this just a few days. That Sunday was a few days before August 21st. So, well, actually, it was August 20th. So it was the day before the Great American Eclipse. And then I talked about the great sign in the heavens with that's going to be on September 23rd. That does fulfill Revelation chapter 12. We are told that the woman in the great sign in the heavens, where the woman or Virgo would be clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, the 12 stars about head, Jupiter in her womb being born. It's pretty amazing. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going through all of that again this week, but that is a great wonder or a great sign in the heavens or in the sky. Now, remember that the Word of God, and I shared this a few weeks ago, Genesis 1:14 says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So the sun, moon, and stars are for signs, not just for seasons, not just for telling time, but they are for signs. And when God does something, he will confirm it through multiple ways when it is a sign. All right. Now, I said on that day when I talked about the eclipse and the great sign a few weeks ago, I made it clear that, yeah, we have solar eclipses and lunar eclipses on regular basis. They've always been. But when they fall and they do some things unusual, or they fall on specific days or feast days even, it's when it really gets interesting. But let's go to this verse. This is Luke 21, 25 through 28. This is one of the verses I shared that Sunday. Jesus speaking here about his second coming, the time of the end. He said, and there shall be signs, and that means there'll be omens, signposts, warnings ahead of time. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Remember that, the sea and the waves roaring. You realize that Irma, this hurricane, the largest, most powerful hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean ever, it dwarfs Andrew, and Andrew was huge. You lived through Andrew down in Miami. Anyway, he says, the sea and the waves roaring, and then Jesus goes on to say, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So he's letting you know that these signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and the sea and the waves roaring, these will happen before things get dramatically worse. All right? And he says, and then, after these things, you shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Now, what's interesting about this verse, as someone pointed out later, is that the great eclipse, and as we're going to see, the great eclipse took place on August 21st, 2017. And according to the National Weather Service, Hurricane Harvey made its first landfall and impact on August 25th. That was interesting, 21 and 25. Just happens to be the same thing we just read in Luke 21, 25. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Now let's back up to the eclipse. Now remember when I shared this message with you a few weeks ago, I said I wasn't going to talk about the eclipse because, again, they are regular occurrences. But when they do something strange or odd, you need to pay attention. The shadow that went all the way across the United States from the West Coast to the East Coast, from starting in Oregon, going all the way to South Carolina, just happened, a coincidence, right, that it went through seven cities called Salem, Salem, Oregon, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, Salem, South Carolina. Now, any of us knows that seven is a number of both completion and of judgment, of God's complete judgment. Now, remember that the Jews always looked at lunar eclipses as a sign or a bad sign for them. They looked at solar eclipses as a bad sign for the Gentile nations, all right? I said that day, I said, I don't see this as a good sign for us. But what I brought out is that the word Salem in Hebrew, the original, when you go and you look at it in Hebrews chapter 7, the word Salem is the original name of Jerusalem. But in Greek and it's rooted from the ancient Hebrew, it means peace. And I thought to myself, if the eclipse was saying something, what would it be saying across America? It would be saying peace, 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 peace. Seven times to say peace. Now, the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, I'll get to that in a moment, but just remember that, because this is a key point. When they shall say peace and safety, this is a really key point to this today. Now, of course, we'll go back to the National Weather Service. They said Harvey began its destruction on August 25th. We know what happened, the flooding in Houston. They said unprecedented, 1,000-year flood, right? unbelievable. I just grabbed a few pictures. Here's another one. Look at the freeway. How would you like to come up on that driving down the road right there? This is just mind-boggling. And let's just skip on to number 10 here. I didn't know this. I started looking back, and this is where we're going to go a little bit further. You know, the Lord gave me a word the other night, and I shared this as I was getting ready for Tuesday night. I felt the Lord tell me that, yes, we're in this, the woman travailing in birth. We're about to, this woman, this symbolic woman is about to give birth to the great tribulation. All right, we're about to enter that time period. That's what the great sign is all about, that we're about to enter into not just tribulation, but the great tribulation. And then I was looking at the flooding. I was thinking about all, you know, the crazy, what happened with Harvey, just sitting there churning and dumping all that rain and flooding, not just Houston, but that whole area there. And the Lord laid it on my heart that this was the water breaking. When a woman is going to give birth, right before she gives birth, there's a point where her water breaks. Well, little did I know, I'm just really thinking about Houston, but the Lord had something a little further on his mind, because if you go back and you start looking over the last year, and particularly in 2016, there's been 18 major flood events have hit Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Arkansas since March 2015. But if you go back just to 2017, you're going to find out that all over the world, there has been some unprecedented flooding. I mean, this goes back to in January 2017. Houston was flooded in January. I think they ought to start getting the message that it's probably time to repent. Maybe because they elected the homosexual mayor, the first homosexual mayor of a major city. We need to start realizing, and I'm going to say something this morning about HARP and weather control. I'm just going to tell you, I don't believe man has mastered control of the weather. I know I'm going to get nasty thing about that, but the Bible says in Nahum that God has his way in whirlwind. It's not man. Man cannot control the weather. He might tinker with it and try to influence it, but he can't control the weather and create hurricanes and direct storms. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of you out there believing that HARP can do that. I don't. I believe the Bible, and I believe it's man's way to get people's mind off the fact that this is the judgment of God and it's something man's doing. But you need to wake up. God has his way in the whirlwind and the flood. Let's keep looking at this. January 2017, I couldn't even list all this. It just goes through all the southern African floods. Overwhelming. They said unprecedented rainfall that caused floods all over Africa. We can keep going. Peru. Those times, Peru's brutal season of flood leaves 94 dead, 700,000 homeless. This is in March 2017. Let's see, keep going here. California storm floods. This one's probably destroyed a good deal of crops that we depend on. Not to mention the flood. I didn't even list the floods that happened in Kansas that destroyed most of our wheat crop. The American wheat crop. But here we go. Floods leave 7 dead in the Philippines. More than twice the average January rainfall in a day forces nearly 7,000 people from their homes in the Philippines. I can just go. Major flooding hits Thailand. At least 12 dead. That's January 2017. This one's the huge one. Deadly floods and landslides hit southern China. 7.44 million affected. And this was in June 2017. Can somebody say something's going on? Something is going on. Now, of course, in the last few days, we had three hurricanes right here, Katia, Irma, and Jose, at the same time. I don't know. There's been a few times. I know there's been a few times that's happened, but I think it's interesting. Now, we're talking about the birth pains. Let's go to the verse where Jesus warned about birth pains. Now, this is Matthew 24. We're going to read verses 3 through 8 here. I'm going to give you some definitions and show you some things that are happening that's going to blow your mind. All right? They asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Pretty specific question. Right? He didn't say 70 AD when Jerusalem would be destroyed. He said, they asked him, what would be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world or the end of the age? And so and Jesus answered and said unto them, first thing he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, I am of God, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Remember that. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus gives some specific signs. He said, you will, don't let anybody deceive you. Deception will be great. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the word sorrows in the Greek language is limos. Did I get it on there? I didn't even get it on there. No, it's not limo. I didn't get sorrows on there. I thought I did. Anyway, it means birth pains. I thought I put that definition on there, but I didn't. So it means birth pains. Now let's keep going. He says there will be these beginning of birth pains, and then he says there will be famine. Now this is the word for famine. I'm sorry. Limos is the word for famine. And here's what's interesting. When I look this up in my Blue Letter Bible, it says scarcity of harvest, famine. It says through the idea of destitution, scarcity of food, famine, hunger. But you know something I began to think about? Yes, there are famines across the world, particularly in North Africa and mostly in Muslim nations of North Africa. We know that there's the, what's it called? UG99, stem rust, that's destroying wheat crops all over the world. We know from Revelation 6 that wheat and barley are going to become super expensive, which means they're going to be scarce. We're definitely heading into this time, but I, you know, a lot of times we get locked into thinking about it's just physical stuff, material stuff. And I started thinking about this right here, scarcity of harvest, particularly in America and in the West. Now, you know, I remember in the 80s and the 90s, it seemed like you could just walk out on the street talking something about Jesus and they get saved. We saw the great, you know, revivals that swept through England and Canada and the United States in the 90s. God was moving. God was moving. And in fact, the 60s and the 70s, there were great moves of God that swept many, many people into the kingdom of God. There was great harvest. But it seems like this is escaping us. We are in desperate need of great revival to bring in the final harvest. Now, that doesn't mean I believe people are getting saved. There's always going to be people getting saved, but we're not just the great move of the Spirit, great revival taking place. Maybe some places in Africa and other places where they're having great meetings, but in the West, in Europe, in the Muslim countries, in the Middle East, I'm thinking, wow, we are seeing scarcity of harvest. And remember, the book of Amos said he saw a time coming where there would be a famine of the hearing of the word of God, meaning people wouldn't listen. A lot of people say there's going to be a famine of the word of God. No, never. It says there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. Boy, people don't want to hear, do they? He said, so there'll be famines. And then he said there will be pestilences. Now, here's the word pestilence. It's loimos. Says a pestilent fellow, a pest, a plague, can mean a plague or disease, a pest. Now, once again, we start thinking about the word pestilence, we think about disease. We're also thinking about human beings. And then it hit me. Somebody sent a video of these two British preachers preaching. They were talking about the animal dials. Now, I've been watching that since about 2011. I had no idea how much it had increased in 2017, really 2015 and 2017. But let's look at plagues. If this word pestilence means plagues, it made me think back to the plagues of Egypt that God brought upon the Egyptians. One of the plagues here, if you go back and read Exodus 7, the plague of turning the rivers to blood, he says, the fish will die. So the fish began to die. There's been, really since 2011, but it's been increasing. There's been these mass die-offs all over the world. Another one here, it says the livestock disease, the Egyptian livestock died. So we're seeing a death in the plagues. He's showing a death of fish and a death of livestock. Well, guess what, folks? You want to know, you want to see how bad that's happening? Look at this. This is ABC News right here. This is 2017, mysterious mass animal death all over the world. ABC News, not Pastor Dean. Here's a website that began to list the ones just in 2017, 341 known mass death events in 69 countries. And they start listing them. September 5th, he said, mass die-off of livestock due to storm in Baja, California. September 5th, thousands of ducks dead due to avian flu in Cape Town, South Africa. Thousands of dead fish found in lagoon in Spain. 3 tons of dead fish wash up on the waters of Faikei Cay or whatever. Mass die-off of fish in the river in China. Thousands of dead fish causing shock in Australia. Thousands of dead fish found in river in Portugal. Massive amounts of dead fish wash up on Taiwan. Thousands of dead fish in nature reserve die in Germany. Keep going. I just want to show you. I mean, I only did a little bit of this. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish wash up on beach in England. Thousands of dead fish floating river in Indonesia. Hundreds, maybe thousands of dead snow geese found washed up in Cambridge Bay, Canada. 300 animals dead due to flooding in National Park in India. Hundreds of dead fish wash up in Mexico. 200,000 birds killed due to avian flu. 4,000 birds killed due to disease in Sweden. 2,000, almost 2,500 cattle have died, reason unknown, in Bolivia. Dozens of dead dolphins and turtles washing up on the Gulf Coast of America. Thousands of dead fish ashore on Tampa Bay in America. Tens of tons of dead fish in Indonesia. 2 million cattle dead due to devastating drought in Ethiopia. 90 tons of fish have died in fish farms in Vietnam. Hundreds of dead shearwater birds found washed up along island beaches. I mean, it keeps going. You think that's enough? I mean, this is just 2017. Look, thousands of dead fish in the waters of lakes in America. So it's not just the oceans. 60,000 chickens, avian flu, China. 2 whales washed up dead in Australia. Hundreds, maybe thousands of cattle dead from flooding in India. I mean, it just keeps going. Look at this. Hundreds of tons of fish have died in Indonesia. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. Now, let's back up. There's a verse I didn't read. Go back to slide 24 there. There's this verse in Hosea. You may not be able to see it, but I'll read it. Hosea 4. 1-3. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea, shall be taken away. You want more? You go read Zechariah and Zephaniah. They talk about it too. This is a sign of judgment. This is the, go to slide 27. This is the World Wildlife Foundation. This is what the World Wildlife Foundation says. The populations have declined 38%. Look at that. Land animals. Fresh water, look at that, declined by 81%, declined by marine life by 31%. World Wildlife Foundation. Now let's look at this. Another word in Matthew 24 of the sign said, he said famine, he said pestilence, he said earthquake. Now, this is an interesting word, because here in the Greek, in Matthew 24, it's seismos or seismos, as we pronounce it. But look at what it says. The outline of biblical usage, shaking, a commotion, a tempest, an earthquake. The Strong's Greek dictionary defines seismos as a commotion, like this, i.e., of the air, a gale of the ground, an earthquake, or a tempest. What is a tempest? Let's look at what the definition of gale. What is a tempest? The definition of gale is a very strong wind. So this word doesn't just mean earthquake. It means storms with strong wind and rain. The word tempest. A violent windstorm, especially one with rain, hail, or snow, a violent commotion or disturbance. So the word earthquake is interesting in the Greek. Doesn't just mean the shaking of the earth. It means windstorms. Man, are we seeing this?
Saying that Irma was registering on the
wow. For those of you who couldn't hear, Kevin said that they were saying that Irma was registering on the seismographs as earthquake. This is crazy, isn't it? Now, this right here, this is documented. Somebody's done their homework here, and I did it years ago, but going back to the U.S. Geological Survey and looking, now listen to this, looking at the increase of major earthquakes that are magnitude 5.6 or greater. Now, remember, Jesus said that earthquakes would be a sign of the birth pains. Notice where they began to increase dramatically, where the jump was. This is the decade 1940 to 1949. What happened in this right here? Israel became a nation again. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy, you Israel Jew haters out there. It is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Great detail in the days ahead. And I'm going to tell you, you Jew haters and Israel haters out there, I'm going to start just deleting you, removing you, and blocking you. I don't want to hear it. You got a bad attitude. God did not forsake his people, which he foreknew. Amen. He said he would bring his people, the Jewish people, back to the land. So don't tell me, don't give me that mess anymore that there are no real Jews in Israel. That's a lie from the devil. The propaganda, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion is a forgery, and you've fallen for a lie. No, the way you know it's a lie is because you look at the Bible, it's true. Now, is every Jew in Israel a true Jew? No. But guess what? There are true Jews according to the word of God, and God said he would bring them back to the land from where they had been scattered all over, and it would be signed to the nation. I'm not saying they don't need to be born again, just like everybody else. The Jews that don't believe in Jesus need to be born again. They need to come to know Jesus as their Messiah. And there's a lot of evil Jews. Okay? I don't care about that. But I'm telling you, we're commanded to love the Jewish people and to love Israel. And I'm going to tell you, I've witnessed to a lot of Jews. I spent an entire month in Israel. And I noticed when talking to Jewish people and you tell them you love them, you're a Christian, and you love them, the tears will start running down their face because they're so hated and despised and maligned because the devil has put that hatred in people toward them. You want to talk about a hated people group? So I'm telling you, don't bring that spirit to my social media. You'll be gone. That was just a little free side note. But as you see, there's been a constant increase of major earthquakes. And just as we were doing the show Tuesday night, someone sent me an email where just from Saturday, that last Saturday, not yesterday, but Saturday to Tuesday, there had been over 100 earthquakes in Idaho. Idaho. I don't know about you guys. I didn't know Idaho had earthquakes. Right? That's what Jesus was talking about. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Now, during our show, this is what was so wild. During our show the other night, and we're not going to play it. I'm not going to worry about playing it. But I did say this because I was going through Matthew 24, and I was talking about these birth pains as I'm talking to you this morning. And I said, looking at where we are, looking at the eclipse and the sign that it was, looking at the great sign that's coming September 23rd, the signs in the heavens with the sun, moon, and stars, looking at these massive, all these floodings, the massive animal and fish die off, looking at all this stuff, I said, look, this is not even a prophecy. This is just tamely. I said, this is just what I think. This is just deductive reasoning. I said, looking at these massive hurricanes, the sea and wave roaring, the signs in the sun, moon, and stars, I said, I bet that we are going to see another major earthquake very soon. 2 days, 2 days after I said that, on our live radio show, 8.4 earthquake hits Mexico, right off the coast of Mexico. I'm going to tell you, I'm surprised that they didn't have a much larger tsunami than what happened. But we're talking about major earthquake. This is just some of the footage. Mexico's strongest earthquake, look at this next one, strongest earthquake in a century. Leaves dozens dead. In fact, the death toll's rising. I think it's at 90 now, but they're still trying to find people in the rubble because buildings toppled and caved in. I mean, I just grabbed this from a screenshot from my computer right here. It says Florida's first signs of Hurricane Irma, deadly quake, Hurricane 1-2 plus. And in Mexico at the time, they're getting this earthquake, Katia, the hurricane's hitting Mexico as well. Folks, God's trying to wake us up. Bible is true. Bible prophecy is coming to pass. And it's not the rapture that's happening next, folks. It's the rise of the world government. It's the rise of the Antichrist. It's the mark of the beast. And we're going to be here for every bit of it. I know I'm driving the pre-trib people crazy out there. They're losing their minds. I'm ripping away their little line of security blanket. Read Matthew 24, Jesus' outline of end time events, and he tells you exactly when the rapture takes place. It's not confusing, it's a theologian to confuse you. Jesus was clear. The rapture is immediately after the tribulation of those days, not before. So let's keep going. Look at this stuff. I'm talking about major earthquake. Look at that building. Oh, I'm all right. Can you imagine the ride they on in those apartments? Now, remember Jesus said there would be also one of the birth pains being wars and rumors of wars, right? This is just, what was this? This is August 21st, 2017. CNN North Korea warns of merciless strike ahead of U.S.-South Korea drill. Everybody knows that this is a confrontation that's stirring. It's already been stated that if he fires another missile toward us or our allies, we will respond. So from this. But this is not the only thing going on. Remember, it says wars and rumors of wars. Let's keep going here. Everybody's focused on North Korea. Everybody's focused on Irma. Well, you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. Here we have Netanyahu, and this is August 23rd. Netanyahu tells Putin that Iran's growing Syria presence threatens the world. Iran and Israel and Russia will end up in a confrontation. This is coming. You don't think it is? Let's keep going here. Here's Ynet News. This is an Israeli news source. Iran's new army chief says Israel won't exist in 25 years. Is that a threat? Do you think Israel's going to sit there and do nothing? No. Let's keep going. Israel today, Netanyahu to Putin. Iran seeks to annihilate Israel, control Syria and the region. See, we're all distracted, but the Middle East is still a cauldron brewing. There we go. Keep going. Russia. This is a few days after Netanyahu and Putin meet and talk about this. Russian, I guess that, what's his name? I can't remember their foreign minister. But anyway, Russia warns Israel not to attack Iran in Syria. I did a whole thing on this Gog and Magog war this morning. There's a video. You can go watch it. I have time to cover it all. Look at this, I-24 Europe. This is one of Israel's ambassadors Rivlin, oh, the president, rather, not the prime minister. They have a prime minister and president in Israel. Rivlin tells Merkel, Iran threatens to sink whole region into war. And this was September 7th, 2017. Sound like wars and rumors of wars? But folks, it doesn't stop there. This is what's been blowing my mind. Let's go back to when you look at the next one here, 44. We go back to the eclipse. Remember? Peace, peace, Salem, 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 peace, peace, peace. When they say peace and safety, let's look at the verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail. What is this travail? Birth pain. Sudden birth pain. Do you see the connection? There is a connection between the birth pains, the sign, and the sudden destruction. Everybody with me? You see that? I want you to see it. The birth pains, the woman in travail, the sign, and sudden destruction, it's all connected, but it's connected to the thing, when they shall say peace and safety. So the eclipse was saying peace, 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 but there will be no peace. Look what it says here. The definition, when it says peace and safety, the Greek definition of safety also is security. You see this right here? Security from enemies, danger, safety. So when he says, when they shall say peace and safety or peace and security, well, guess what? Remember a few weeks ago, one of our end time messages was the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. And I clearly showed you how that beast, that multiple faceted beast uniting together is the United Nations, how they have 7 heads and 10 horns, how they are going to rise up as a world government out of this stuff. And remember, the world government is Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming to lead them. All right? But it says in the book of Daniel that by peace they will destroy many, meaning they will come and promise peace. They will talk peace. But there'll be destructive Antichrist spirits working against the world and working against mankind, working against particularly Israel and the church. All right? So he says they will say peace and safety. Well, guess what? Right before the great sign on September 23rd, there is the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 21st. Now, they've had one every year since 2001. The original beginning Day of Peace was supposed to be September 11, 2001, but when that happened, they had to change it, so they moved it to September 21st, and they've had one every year since 2001, the United Nations International Day of Peace. So this year, it's on September 23rd, and they've had a theme for it every year. Go back one. They've had a theme for it every year. Notice, I want you to see, they have these listed, but in 2007, they called it Peace is the United Nations' Highest Calling. 2008, Human Rights and Peacemaking. I love 2009, after Obama came in, Disarmament and Non-Proliferation. Right? Disarmament. And they mean small arms disarmament as well. Good luck, blue helmets. You're not getting them in Alabama. 2010, Youth for Peace. You know, they got these little 2012, Sustainable Peace for a Sustainable Future. That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? 2013, Education for Peace. 2014, The Right of Peoples to Peace. 2015, Partners for Peace, Dignity for All. 2016, this is the global warming hoax and the climate change. The Sustainable Development Goals, Building Blocks for Peace. Well, guess what? 2017, in a few days, September 21st, it's peace and safety, peace and security. The theme for 2017, Together for Peace, Respect, Safety, Dignity for All. Do you think that that is a coincidence? If you do, I feel sorry for you, because there are no coincidences. I believe we're about to enter into the time of sudden destruction. And you know what the word, if you look at the word sudden, it means catch them unaware. No one will fully be expecting how bad it's going to get. It's just going to be boom. And see, right now, even some of you sitting here, you're sitting here in just disbelief of what I'm saying. That this is upon you. This has snuck up on you. The thief in the night has crept up on you. And he's not here to rapture you. He's here to bring great tribulation. But he knows who are his, and he knows how to be your refuge and your fortress and your shelter and your provider in the midst of whatever happens. You know, I've lived through earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and Muslims holding me captive. And I'm still here. God is able. See, this is something. Don't enter into fear. Get close to Jesus. You see, you have a choice. You have a choice. You either enter into fear or you enter deeper to the Lord Jesus Christ as your refuge and your fortress. See, this right here, this sign in the heavens, this is real, folks. This is going to happen. September 23rd. As a sign in the sun, moon, and stars. I believe it's letting us know. It's kind of like, hey, flashing, red, light, neon sign. Hey. You're about to enter what Jesus called the Great Tribulation, what he called a time of trouble such as the world has never known. Get yourselves ready spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. Make whatever preparations you can. But this is no time to be lukewarm. This is no time to be living in sin. This is no time to be living in unbelief or in fear or being distracted. This is time to get your Bible out, get on your knees, and get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is time to get the sin and the worldliness and the lust and the perversion and the fornication and the adultery and the homosexuality and the perversions of the world out of your life. This is not a time to be goofing around. God knows. How to allow. There's a lot of people, I'm a Christian, and so the wrath of God will never fall upon me. But are you a child of disobedience? Because Ephesians 2 says that the wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience. You can be a Christian and be a child of disobedience. The wrath of God won't touch me. I'm going to tell you what. Churches are full of people. The wrath of God won't touch me. I'm getting raptured out of here. I'm going on the first trip. All this foolish talk while they consume the perversion and lust of the world, while they love the world, while they love the sins of the world. All this Christianese foolish talk is soon going to be silenced by great tribulation. Soon, all the pre-trib rapture folks are going to be silenced as well. Hopefully, hanging their heads in total shame and embarrassment because they didn't listen to the plain teaching of the Word of God. But Revelation 3:10, brother, says, I will keep you from the hour tribulation coming upon all the earth. Look up the word keep. It doesn't mean to take you out of. It means to guard you and protect you within. But folks, let me say this. Did Jesus ever promise us that we would escape tribulation or persecution or difficult times? Right. He promised we'd have it. Promised we'd have it. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. His people at different times suffered great persecution, hunger, wandered through the wilderness, destitute, had to hide in caves, had to meet underground. Many were tortured, would not deny Jesus through torture, beheading. And we whine a little bit. We whine and start shivering if the wind starts blowing a little hard. It's time. It's time to man up a little bit. That means you ladies too. Man it up. Gut check time, right? You say, well, what if something bad happens to me? Well, guess what? Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. I just don't want to die before my time, but I'm ready to die. As a Christian, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why are we afraid of death? Why are we afraid of suffering, tribulation, or persecution? Does not the Bible say that if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, the glory of God rests upon us? The glory of God, that's a wonderful thing. Here's where we are. Listen to this. We're going to read Revelation 12. Man, I can't believe this. This is 50-something slides, and it's not even an hour yet. I feel like the Lord's helping me, some kind of time warp. Revelation 12, verse 1. Let's read it together. Here it is. Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a great sign in the heavens, in the sky. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Look, he's telling you, what follows the great sign in heaven is the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that gets its power from the dragon. That's the rise of the world government. That's the rise of the Antichrist. He's letting you know what is about to happen. Then he gives you a little story about this dragon that happened in the past. This is where the Bible's beautiful, because it can talk about the past, the present, and the future all in one verse. It says here, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. So in the middle of this, he stops and gives you a little history lesson. The dragon who took the one-third of the angels, who tried to destroy Jesus when he was being born. It's called a parenthetical statement. Right? There are people trying to use this to teach a pre-trib rapture. Is that what it's talking about? Nope. Let's keep going. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's a prophetic 3.5 years. All right, let's keep reading. Good jump in verse. Anyway, there were war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, again, he's talking about something that happened in the past. Listen to me. Now he's jumped back to the future. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And he says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And the dragon saw that he was cast on earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the child. The woman that brought forth the child, in the sense he's talking about there, is Israel, who brought forth the Messiah. So he's saying he's going to persecute Israel, this dragon. The UN hates Israel. they hate Israel. It's constant badgering and attacking and resolutions against Israel when all these other nations have far greater human rights violations, like Saudi Arabia and so forth. But he says, here he says that the devil has great wrath. He knows he has a short time. And the dragon saw that he was cast there, and he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Now listen to this. Here's America. And to the woman, Israel was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly to her place, where she is nourished time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's 3.5 years. Meaning the United States will help Israel. Interesting. We'd have to have a president that would be pro-Israel in the last days. We had to get Trump, not Barack. Barack to go, we had to get Trump. And I know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your opinions or your theories about Trump. Don't want to hear it. Don't listen to me. Look at this, though, verse 15. I found this interesting. Remember how we just showed a minute ago all this, the worldwide flooding of 2017 that's just everywhere? I mean, I didn't even cover it thoroughly. It's interesting that connected to this time, connected to the end of days, connected to the birth pains, connected to this whole thing, he talks about the serpent casting out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, this could be many things, but I just find it interesting. Isn't that interesting? Water. I've always wondered about this. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood, the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, or very angry, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You need to accept the fact of the truth. Satan has declared war on you. He's declared war upon Israel, upon the Jews. He has declared war upon the true church of Jesus Christ. He has declared war upon mankind. He wants to destroy and deceive and destroy as many people. Satan wants to take as many people to hell and eternal damnation with him as he can take. He's like a suicide bomber. He's not satisfied just to go out and blow himself up. He wants to take as many people with him as he can. Wonder where these people get their inspiration? From Satan. He's on a mission. He knows his time is short. Will you allow him to deceive you or put you in fear or get you in sin and loving the world and not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, Matthew 24, Jesus continues in verse 14 and he makes this statement. This is one for the once saved, always saved people. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You got to endure. Endure what? The trials, the tribulation, the persecution, the difficulty. Will you endure everything and not fall away from Jesus as your Lord and Savior, from the truth of Scripture? So many people are falling away. Just this week, I had a Christian woman trying to argue with me and convince me and twist the scriptures to justify her homosexual relationship. I have the emails. And I'm just sitting there telling her, you are deceived. I have another person sending me emails. I got everybody trying to teach me. I'm telling you, folks, there are so many teachers out there that don't have a clue what the Bible says. So somebody's trying to teach me that. Everybody wants to give me their end time theories and their version of it. And I'm sitting here going, what are these people? They are not called to ministry. They're not, they haven't even walked with the Lord for a decade, a lot of them. But they're experts. But they've watched a lot of YouTube, I guess. I don't know. But I had one person this week trying to tell me, oh, there's no 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's no 1,000 years. The Bible doesn't teach 1,000 years between the resurrection of the righteous or the rapture and the resurrection of the wicked at the great white throne. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear it. Revelation 20 is clear. There's the resurrection of the righteous at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and then 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ, and then the wicked dead are raised up and judged according to their works. And those who are lifted up out of hell, once they're judged and their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are thrown into the lake of fire where the smoke of their torment will ascend day and night forever. The judgment and wrath of God is a real thing. Judgment Day is a real thing. But I marvel. I just marvel. He said things that are, I understand there may be confusion about symbolic language at times. But folks, when it tells you plainly, there's going to be the resurrection of the righteous at the second coming of Jesus, then there's going to be 1,000 years, and then the wicked dead are going to be, that's what it says in Revelation 20. And you're going to send me mountain emails that say it's not so. And part of this problem is because we got a bunch of people who don't have church homes and don't have pastors and don't have elders in their lives that can make them accountable. They're armchair theologians. I just get weary with it sometimes. People ask me why I've turned comments off of some of my YouTube videos. Because I'm sick of crazy. That's why. The Torah terrorists and everybody else. If I hear one more person ask me why we meet on Sunday, I want to ask them, do you even meet anywhere? Do you have a group of people you're even accountable to? I tell them all the time, hey, Paul said, one person esteems one day above another, and one man esteems every day alike. Guess what? Nobody can judge me. I mean, when the book of Colossians says, let no man judge you, Sabbath, feast, meaning they can't determine I'm right or wrong for whatever day I choose to have church on. That's what the Bible says. And then I got these people, Sunday's the mark of the beast. You're a psycho. You don't know the Bible, and you're a psycho. If I hear that, I'm telling you, the Seventh-day Adventists drive me crazy. With it. Oh, the Sunday's the mark of the beast. If you meet on Sunday, you've taken the mark of the beast. Oh, God, help us. I wish, you know what I wish? I wish we were in revival meeting every day of the week. The true revivals that happened in the past. I mean, the church, it said, met what? Daily. I wonder what they say about that, huh? Daily. That means Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. I mean, that meant every day they met and would have prayer, would have Bible study. We're having revival. We're discipling new believers. We're leading people to Jesus. We're praying for the sick. Every day of the week. I remember when the Brownsville revival started. It was 7 days a week. Oh, I don't like that. I can't believe you for that Brownsville revival. That's them Pentecostals. Well, guess what? I'm Pentecostal. So be offended. I speak in tongues. Yes, I do. Actually, falling on the ground of the power of God. Oh, scare you to death. I know. Brother, I'm telling you. I mean, I praise God for what he's doing. The people that he's allowing us to reach. But, man, the level of crazy from I just look back at the late 80s. And the level of crazy that calls itself Christian is at a new height. Folks, read and study the Bible. I tell everybody, you know what? I don't care if it's me or any other person out there preaching. You better go back and be like the Bereans and check and make sure those things are not just in the Word of God, but they're rightly divided. They are balanced. The terms are defined. They are in context. And I'm going to tell you, if you've only been saved 2 or 3 years, you are not a theologian. I'm just going to tell you. You're not. You're a novice. You need to shut up, sit down, Go find some godly men and women that are elders and learn something. Stop trying to be a teacher.
I'm going to get hate mail for that. You're welcome to think. But I don't care.
It's true.
Huh? How many people need to read Hebrews 13? Obey those that have the rule over you.
I mean, you say something like that, and people, I mean, they literally start having a conniption fit in their brain. You mean the church actually is supposed to have leadership? Elders who have authority over you? Yeah, that's right. Do I try to control people? You know, I tell them, we don't vote around here. I tell people, you vote with your feet. That's why we're a small church. A lot of people voted with their feet and walked right out the door. It's fine with me. Go. They've actually, many of them have done me a favor. Bye-bye. Thank you. Go bother the Baptist preacher down the road because you're going to torment him too. Right? Sometimes folks leaving is a favor. Trust me. I like this. I'd rather pastor our 30 and here and 3,000 and 4,000 out there like we're doing than have the 4,000 right here because that's a nightmare. Right? Why do you think these pastors of big churches hire staff and then hide from you? Because they're just dealing with crazy all the time. Right? And most of them, you know, most of them are medicated with psychotropics anyway. So I'm like, I don't want to counsel that. Get off the drugs and come see me. Right? I'm just having fun this morning. You know, it's only 12 o'clock. You know what? Even in the midst of all of this going on, I can honestly say I have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our
strength.
That's right. Guess what? If you're a sourpuss all the time, you're pretty weak, right? The joy of the Lord is strength. You know what? I'm joyful. You know, because I know, and listen, I'm going to close with this. I know I share these things and I teach these things to you that hopefully you will share them with people around you so that their eyes will be open to the truth of Scripture, to the truth of what we're about to enter into, so they will know that the God of the Bible is the God of creation, that He is the only true God, the way, the truth, the life, that Jesus is the only Savior. I want you to take these truths and use them. And I promise you, if you use the Word of God and you show people, here's what the Word of God said 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, and you say, look where it's happening right now today, you're going to get some people's attention. And trust me, you can trust me on this. We might be in a famine of harvest right now. But when the bovine excrement actually hits the fan, people are going to, you know who they're going to search out? The crazy people, they thought, who told them these things were coming. They're going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. My pastor's been talking about how to deal with stress at work. How to handle the pain of my corn on my toe. But I remember seeing this crazy guy on YouTube and Facebook that's right down the road that's been talking about this stuff for several years. He might actually know what's going on. Trust me, it'll happen to you. Share the truth. I don't care. They say, you're crazy. You're doom and gloom. I don't believe you. They've been saying this forever. No, there were things that had to come to pass. There were things that had to happen. There was technology that had to be developed. There's a lot of things that had to happen first, but we are there now for everything. The mark of the beast, we'll get on that in the days ahead. The Antichrist, he's here. You want to tell you the man that's going to lead this whole thing? He's alive, he's here. Now, I might be wrong who I think he is, but I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. That man is walking the earth right now, and he's going to step into his position the days ahead. when the time is right. So, let's stand this morning. And what I want to do before we leave here, that last song we did, I want to do it again. And for those watching out there, I want everybody, because they didn't get to hear the whole thing. You want to know the message of this church? You want to know the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God? You want to know that it's in this song right here. What's the title of this song? I can't even remember. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. And I'm going to say this morning, for anybody that's here, I mean, we have several out, and we're not a big crowd this morning, but I never take it for granted. If you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, or you need to repent and get right with God, as this song plays, I want you to come up here, and we're going to pray. Repentance and getting right with God's a public thing. But regardless of that, those of you out there watching and listening, you can pray. You can pray right where you are, sitting on your couch, sitting in your chair, sitting at your computer desk. If you haven't been right with God, you've been living in sin. You've never been truly born again. Today's your day. You can pray the prayer. You can receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and begin a whole new life, be born again, and begin a new walk, become a new disciple, and really walk with Jesus. Because it's not about just believing some religion. It's about you can know the Creator. You can know Him for real. And you can know your sins are forgiven and washed away, and that He's come into your life and made you a new creature, ready to go to heaven. Okay? So let's do this song. Worship the Lord a minute. And those of you here, while we're doing this song, I want you to pray. Pray for those out there. We are always amazed how many people are watching and listening. Even unsaved people are watching and listening. I want you to pray for them out there while we do this song.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Jesus, we know you are coming again. Lord, we just come to you today. We just pray, God, that your presence, your power will touch each and every one here, those watching, listening. We pray, God, to see great change, great miracles happen in the lives of people that will just turn to you. Lord, you said all we have to do is repent. We have to repent, we have to believe. That you died for us on that cross. You rose from the dead the third day. And if we'll ask forgiveness, we'll confess our sins. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You promised to give us your Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. Lord, you make it real. Lord, one thing I know, Lord, if people get real with you, you will get real with them. Lord, I ask you to touch people all over this world. We thank you for it today. We thank you for your word that's true. I thank you for the Bible, that it is a lamp and a light in this dark world. Father, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. We appreciate everyone that's been watching and been with us. And those of you here, you know the rule around here, hugs them next before you leave. If you have a tithe or offering, just drop it in the basket in the back. God bless.